Hey guys, welcome back. I'm Chris Bircher. This is the Neurodivergent Professor. Podcasts, YouTube videos, articles on a website called Medium, all about being different, about things that are different, about things people aren't talking about, outside the mainstream, nonconformist ideas that may be unpopular and certainly could be controversial. But I think there's a whole lot in the world outside the mainstream that is important, but just doesn't get talked about. You know, all of their traditional filters, the YouTube algorithm, journalists, journalism, publishing, you know, recording contracts for musicians, the art that gets displayed, it all goes through these filters of what's the most marketable, what's the most palatable to the most number of people. It really sort of normalizes everything, right? And so I'm just one of those voices that's outside that norm, okay? And if you're like me, welcome. And if you're not like me, welcome. I'm not saying you're not. But there needs to be more of this. There needs to be better representation because diversity is the secret sauce of life. Without diversity, all life ceases to exist. The entire existence, meaning, and persistence of life depends on diversity because the world changes and we must change with it. So this is the Neurodivergent Professor, episode 173. Can we stop enabling? Now, I have a feeling this is going to be a sensitive topic because some of the examples I use with enabling are the relationships of abuse. You know, I think of the battered housewife or the mistreated spouse or you know, anyone in a situation where they're receiving abuse, where there's two sides to the coin, right? And so, but I'll get to that, and I'll just shelf that for now, just sort of a trigger warning for anybody who may be in that and might not want to hear about it. Because I think the general scenario that I'm talking about is what somebody said a quote, and I should have been more prepared, and I would know what this is. Maybe I'll look it up and put it in the show notes. Something like the problem with the world is that the smart people are too quiet and introspective and don't share enough of their message with the world, and the idiots are loud and obnoxious, and everybody sort of listens to them, right? I mean, it's that sort of dynamic of the arrogant, confident people that talk the loudest and most aggressively are tend to be the ones that we accept as authority figures. You know, the plutocrats, the dictators, the authoritarians. We're scared of them, and so we cow down, for lack of a better word, and sort of do whatever it is they say. That's kind of an MO of humans, right? We follow the wrong leaders. We worship the wrong deities, and these deities generally have these qualities of that make people fear them. Or skillfully manipulate people into not necessarily being scared, but follow them. And so in any sort of relationship, there can exist a power differential. One person has power over the other person, either physical power, I can beat you up, or in brain power, I can manipulate you into doing what I want and gaslight you, right? These classic relationship things of like the narcissists and the codependent preying upon our needs. So a lot of these manipulative authority figures sort of prey on our weaknesses, right? They install our weak buttons and then they just continue to push them to get us to stay in line and do what they want to do. And this can be as simple as a familial relationship when you have an authoritarian, typically father, that's telling the kid how they need to act, what they need to study in school, what job they need to get, who they want to marry, and that sort of thing. It can come in a spousal type relationship or like a boyfriend and girlfriend. I don't have a general descriptive explanation for that boyfriend, whatever it is, where one person, you know, manipulates the other in certain ways to always get their way. You know what I'm talking about, right? It can happen in a government where you have a leader that gets their way by ruling with an iron fist. You know, it can be like the military where you break everybody down and then build them up the way that you want to. There's no shortage of these power differential relationships, and it's really even hard to think of one that isn't like that, like a more egalitarian, balanced, equivalent relationship where people share power. And I just listened to a very interesting podcast that describes not a patriarchy or matriarchy, but a partnership. Like a lot of us think, you know, well, the patriarchy is part of the problem because men tend to be these authoritarian, dictator, charismatic, powerful, manipulative leaders, getting what they want through force and ruling with an iron fist, or, you know, certainly not kindness and cooperation, versus like a kindness cooperation, versus a matriarchy, which is softer and more feminine, more cooperative. And we tend to think of, maybe historically we were more matriarchal and now we're more patriarchal or whatever, but this person offered up another explanation that said, what we used to be is partners, and we saw the benefits of both personality types and how they help to cancel out the bad stuff. You know, we help codependents be a little more resourceful. We help narcissists be a little bit more cooperative, and we sort of meet in the middle, and that's what we need. And I think what I want to point out in this episode is that as much as it's easy to blame the authoritarian, iron fist, mean, brute, large, violent, aggressive rulers, they have no power but for what is given to them by their sons, daughters, parents, mates, partners, citizenry, constituents, members. You know, what do you see what I'm saying? So there's two sides to every coin. We can always reduce this to the power differential between the leaders and the followers, or however you want to look at that. You know, if it's not an egalitarian and it is a system, and it's a hierarchical or even caste type system, we're going to get these power differentials. Now, what I'm about to say is complicated, because if there is a power differential, it says that the people sort of on the top in the leadership positions have the power, and oftentimes other people have no power. This is a problem, and this is where this is, you know, it's kind of going back to the battered wives thing. It isn't easy to leave an abusive relationship, because the fear of abuse could be worse if you try to leave, right? And in the same way as a constituent in like a dictatorship, you know, or in like Nazi Germany, you know, you're going to be killed if you're identified as a non-enabler. So enabling has real reasons and real restrictions, and it is a trap. And what I'm about to say is almost impossible in some situations. The point I'm trying to make is that there would be no authoritarians and no abusive spouses if it weren't for them being able to get away with it. And how do they get away with it? We enable them. And again, I don't want to be quoted as saying, you know, it's the abused in the relationship that's responsible. It's their fault. Not at all. I'm trying to soften it up and use that as sort of an extreme scenario. But if that person can be removed from the abusive situation somehow, and I get it that it can be a literal impossibility to stop enabling an abuser, but if it were possible with the help of social systems or whatever to remove, guess what? That enabler loses that power. It's gone. It doesn't exist anymore. And so the mathematics behind stopping the enabling destroys the monster, right? That's how you slay the dragon. You don't stab him with a sword. You remove the problem. It's sort of like if you're going through divorce through infidelity, that oftentimes is associated with a narcissistic cheater. There's a phrase that says the bakery is closed, right? Because the abuser tends to want to have their cake and eat it too, and the enabler allows them to do that. If the enabler is not there to provide the environment to both have the cake and eat it too, there is no more thing. And so one of the most powerful things a victim of infidelity can do is to close the bakery. There's no more cake, right? That's kind of the point of that. I hope that makes sense. And so there is something to be said for the role of the enabler in this situation, right? And that's the only point I'm trying to make. And I hope that I'm not coming across as trying to suggest that It is the responsibility of the abused in a situation to do this. I'm not. I'm trying to illustrate the extreme side and then to think about and consider all of the other relationships we have. Like, for example, let's try to come up with some softer ones. Somebody cuts you in line at the grocery store, right? Maybe it's no big deal. Maybe you're not really that in that big of a hurry. Maybe it's just one more person. But maybe in not enforcing a cultural norm of not cutting in line, you are perpetuating that behavior. You're enabling that person to do it by not, and this makes me a little nauseous because I am as conflict avoidant as they come. I don't want to do this. But there is some responsibility for us to police each other. Otherwise, cultural norms are meaningless. Basically, it sort of says cultural norms apply to everybody but the assholes. And guess what? The assholes are going to do what they want, and they're going to start being able to make the rules. And guess what? Now it's an authoritarian situation where all the assholes are in leadership positions, and all of us more kind-hearted, compassionate, and cooperative people are left, you know, to our own devices. And we're guilty. We're complicit in this enabling process. It's sort of like if a child, it's sort of at maybe a playground, is acting out and their parents aren't doing anything about it. Well, if none of the other authority figures, like the other parents and the other members of society that know better, do anything, talk to the parent, talk to the kid, I don't know what the right thing is to do because I'm the biggest conflict avoider that there is. I am complicit and enabling. I get it. That's why I'm doing this episode. But for me, just for as much as all y'all, then that behavior goes on. It continues. It's like, and I don't want to be political, but it's like I used to say, you look at somebody like Donald Trump. I mean, he's an asshole. I mean, I don't care what you want about his leadership abilities and pensions and all that stuff, but I believe there were multiple things that were supposed to happen to him culturally. He was supposed to get his ass kicked on the playground when he misbehaved. He was supposed to get scolded by his parents when he misbehaved. He was supposed to get turned down by women, and maybe he raped them, and it's, you know, they could do nothing about it. You know, to sort of knock him down a few steps and help him learn and be normalized into our cultural norms, right? Those things didn't happen, but people saw them. Chances are people saw these behaviors, and they instead of doing something about it, probably for very real reasons, they would have got fired. They could have been physically harmed. I mean, these systems are set up, you know, to prey on, and perpetuate enabling. Right? They know it. They depend on us to roll over and allow the bad behavior to happen. Those things are supposed to happen. You know, people are supposed to get their ass kicked. They're supposed to get knocked down a few notches. You know, we have a whole vernacular to talk, to describe this exact thing that's happening. And it's in as much as I don't necessarily agree with all the indoctrination, domestication procedures of culture. You know, we shouldn't indoctrinate people into religion without their consent. But I do think it's okay to help somebody understand that violence is a last resort and is not a good mechanism to control people, that manipulating and being overly competitive and bullying and aggression, those are less favorable approaches to solving problems than things like kindness and discourse and cooperation, right? I think there's a set of universal values in there somewhere that we, most of us, can agree on, and I believe in an indoctrination of those things and the teaching our young people, quote unquote, how to behave in certain ways. Now, there's a whole lot of extra crap that we do that's useless and hurtful and bad, like teaching inherited racism and systematic, you know, all these other things that we teach our children, right? Okay, I'm not saying that, but there's some things, norms are good. You know, it's a good thing we wear clothes and we don't poop in each other's lawns and like wreck into people when we're going down the highway, right? Some agreements, some cooperation as a society is necessary. So I think it's important first to help empower the people who struggle and to be assertive and get their needs met and speak up and thus therefore continue to enable. There's a ton of people that are powerless to change that, including some of the scenarios I mentioned before. They need our help. So one, the first thing we can do is be on the lookout for this and do whatever it is in our power, and sometimes it's nothing. You can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink. Sometimes the abusive relationship you know is less scary than the one that you don't know. I get it. It's going to happen. It's part of reality. But there are ways I think we can, in simple communication and awareness and empathy and paying attention is one thing that we can do better to sort of become aware of when these things may be happening right under our noses. And then as individuals, when we, and I am so guilty of this, and other people's kids are a great example, you know, I don't want to overstep my boundaries and parent other people's kids, right? That's a touchy one for me. Like, I have a lot of, I don't like conflict, and I'm one of the ultimate enablers. I'm trying to do things in my life on a weekly basis to sort of push that and to teach myself that not continuing to enable and entering into a conflict is not going to result in death or abandonment or, you know, shame, right? Because that's the problem. Many of us are afraid. Many of us continue to enable for fear of this, of the unknown results that could come up. And we have these sort of worst case scenario feelings. You know, I do this in my family. I don't want to do anything to disappoint anybody, because disappointment literally means I will be disappointed. I'm afraid disappointment means you're no longer my son. You're no longer my brother. You're no longer my spouse. You're no longer my dad. You disappointed me. And that's pretty extreme. I get it. But that's also a massive motivation to continue to enable. I get it. Again, this is touchy, touchy, touchy stuff. But I would be remiss if I didn't talk about it, because I'm super hyper aware of it. So what can, you know, what can change? I mean, the very nature of leadership changes if we can, if we could magically remove or minimize the enabling that goes on and allow and facilitate the communication of real needs, real feelings, and a true discourse of tolerance, where it's okay to say what is on your mind, because what is on your mind is real and it is a part of the constituency that is being led, you know? And in as much as your silence and your complicit behavior of, you know, helps things run more easily, like if you'll just show up and just vote for the Republican every time, and we can predict that, that makes our job a whole lot easier. We don't actually have to talk to you. We don't actually have to listen to what it is you have to say. We don't actually have to include your needs in the list of needs. And this is exactly, if you look around you, especially in modern first world, quote unquote, the global north, all that countries, this is exactly what you see. Years and years of more and more enabling, less and less representation by any of these groups, because we all just roll over and say, whatever, sure, fine, I'll vote for you. And more concentration of power and wealth at the top. But the groups that do insist on being represented and do speak up and don't enable, you know, I mean, this is a real problem. And it's not, I don't want to say it's a problem in as much as it's our fault. It's not the individual, say, American citizen's fault, right? We've been manipulated without consent to be like this. Most of us, truly, are unaware of it. We don't even realize it. And when pressed, we, many of us, won't even admit it. We will deny it because we're so well-trained, right? We have been set up. We have been sold down the river. I hate to use sort of a slavery term, but I mean, I think it applies. We have, you know, we have been manipulated. We have been mind raped. Our propensity to enable is not ours. We never asked for it. We never agreed to it. The degree to which that we do it is directly proportional to our lack of power in the whole thing by fucking design. And I know this sounds like super conspiratorial, but, you know, I call him as I see him. The system was set up this way. And this is what is happening. And this is explains the differential in power. It explains the haves and the have-nots. It explains, you know, the power differential between those levels. And it explains why there's no middle class, right? The enablers just continue to enable. They have less and less power. They have less and less awareness. They are manipulated more to think that their enabling is actually their power, and they actually are making choices that represent us. We feel that way. How else could a billionaire convince a white-collar worker just barely above the poverty line, how could they convince them that they're the same and that any of the rules and laws and changes that this person is going to make are going to benefit you in any way, right? That is straight up brainwashing. Psychological mind rape has occurred here. So it's, you know, it's not ours, but we got to become aware of it. And we, because of the absence of power and choice and opportunity that exists in this realm, this is not going to be an easy battle to win. Like I said, it's up. It's like it's the responsibility of those of us. Like, I just feel like I was born self-aware. I can't help it. I think other people come to it in their life and they realize that, why am I racist? Where did I get this? And they start to say, why am I here? Who am I? Why do I think this way? It's this, the people who have the privilege, the blessing, the gift of self-awareness, you know, I think it's our individual responsibility to bottom up this thing, to empower ourselves by overcoming our childhood fears and our sort of irrational beliefs and our traumas, reparent ourselves, find the confidence, find the ability to face conflict for ourselves and our own relationships, and then pivot to help our neighbors in the same sort of way to the people who are willing and open and interested. And this requires so much skill. Skill we maybe used to have or could have been developing if not for our blindness by technology and television and TV dinners and iPhones and porn and gambling and all the other distractions from life. This is definitely in the wheelhouse of things that humans can do. We can learn to communicate better and do this ourselves. We can learn to empower ourselves and to face conflict. And we can teach others to do this. And, you know, in the most Hamiltonian Lin-Manuel Miranda sense, rise up. Right? That's how things are going to change. But right now, we are the victims of abusive relationships by those in power. By design. We ought to be pissed off about it. And we ought to be wanting to do something about it. And I think that we can, and I think that we are. I mean, I think that's part of what I'm doing. And the others, I'm just a small part of this whole thing. You know, this is happening, and we can keep it up. So, you know, if you're watching this and you're aware of this, keep up the good work. Keep working on yourself. Keep helping your family and your friends do the same thing. Help the collective awareness of these situations grow. And I really think this is how humans don't go extinct. I mean, even though that's kind of a 30,000 foot view, it's how we solve all of these smaller problems in between here and now. This is the ball rolling down the hill. Once there's a critical mass of self-awareness and confidence and capacity to get our needs met, both individually and collectively, and to stop being the victims of abusive relationships, that's, you know, once that threshold is passed, I really truly believe a lot of the other problems are simply going to take care of themselves. They will cease to persist. Once you take the bone from the pit bull, you've stopped the hormonal process of aggression, you know, from growing, right? Once you remove the power from the oppressors, the enabling and the sort of complicit behaviors, once you take that away, they drop like flies. Then we can really do something about it. Because right now, with a continuing, you know, power that we're feeding that machine of pit bulls, there we have no hope. And I know I am guilty of this too. It seems insurmountable. It seems Sisyphean. At the very least, it seems like it's going to take forever. But I can't think of a better solution. You know, except jokingly sometimes I say, if you could take all these manipulators and like give them a heroic dose of psilocybin or some psychedelic drug, and remove their, that would also help to remove their power. You know, because I think it would help them see a lot of what they don't see. You know, because it blows my mind that someone can be so manipulative and sort of sociopathic, and I'm not sure that's the right word, but so non-empathetic to knowingly manipulate a person to get them to do what they want and then just sort of not care about how that affects that person. Because the power gained in that transaction is so intoxicating, right? I also have some sympathy for the aggressive dominators, you know, in these, the narcissists in these relationships. You know, there's trauma there too. And there's probably many ways to deal with that. And I'm Chris Bircher. This has been the Neurodivergent Professor, episode number 173. How do we stop enabling? I appreciate your time. I'll see you next week. Take it easy.